Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup. Let's see how it tastes today. That's good coffee. I hope your coffee's good today, or tea, or juice, or whatever you're joining with me with? With whatever beverage you're joining with me today in. It's early, and the words aren't coming out just quite right, but that's okay. Hey, today is Wednesday, the 11th of October. I apologize for not recording or publishing a podcast here on Monday, but I took an extended trip, weekend trip, down to Kentucky to visit my son and his wife and her parents and her sister, and just had a nice, fun time, and did not bring my book with me. I could have recorded a podcast early in the morning, but I left the book here. So we're going to be wrapping up, actually, my review of The Triumphant Marriage, 100 Extremely Successful Couples Reveal Their Secrets by Neil Clark Warren. And we have, let me get back to, hold on. Oh, set it down right there and put my bookmark here. And what we have done, just today's kind of a recap. And the secrets that we have covered in the podcast, if you haven't heard them all and you like, you know, this one, go back and listen to the others. Or better yet, go out on Amazon and find the book, The Triumphant Marriage. This is the old title. There's still, you know, some books you can find through Amazon that's under this title. The newer title is, oh crud, I always forget it. Look it up. It's under Neil Clark Warren. But anyway, the first secret was dream a dream, construct a vision of everything you believe your marriage can be. Number two, get tough. A triumphant marriage requires two strong, skillful, and thoroughly committed partners. Number three, maximize the trust factor. Spouses in a solid relationship have complete faith in each other. Four, get healthy. A triumphant marriage requires two emotionally healthy people. Number five, work on chemistry. Maximize passion and romance. Number six, learn to talk. Become good masters of communication. Number seven, work through it. Conflict is inevitable, so learn to handle it productively. Number eight, negotiate a mutually satisfying sexual relationship. A great sex life builds intimacy in marriage. Get connected. Recognize the role of children and friends in making your marriage triumphant. And number 10, pursue spirituality. Partners in great marriages find significance in their spiritual lives. So, the key thing with this book, as he says, and I agree completely, is it's not a book that, okay, I'm going to use this to fix my marriage, and you read it yourself, and that's it. No, it doesn't work that way. This is a book that I always encourage couples to read together, and don't see how fast you can read through it. Start by reading, you know, with like the first chapter, you read 2, 3, 4 paragraphs till you get to a point where it's like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's see, is this something that we can implement in our marriage, implement in our lives? And when you finish the book, then using it to set some goals and read the book again. This is a book that's designed to become well-worn, have highlighter marks in it, and basically kind of as a foundational roadmap to help you modify and change and improve your marriage. And when you look at these 10 secrets that are listed, in the last few pages, Neil Let me set the phone down again. I'm having trouble negotiating all these pages here. But he says they break down into three categories, and I think so. The first category is emotional health. And he says, if both you and your mate have a proper understanding of yourselves as individuals, and if you have well-developed self-concepts, the load you place on your marriage will be decidedly lighter. Marriage is not designed to make you emotionally healthy. Marriages begin to crack and crumble when the people in them want the marriage to serve in their place of God. They are simply incapable of functioning like God. Although a marital relationship can provide tremendous fulfillment, it cannot solve many of your personal problems and make you into the person you have the potential to become. But if you come to the marriage with a solid sense of yourself, a well-working, thorough set of primary relationships, and a balanced inner life, you are ready for a great marriage. If you didn't come to marriage this way, you have some work to do. Do it now. Yeah, a lot of times people, they're looking for marriage to make them whole. And in a way, that kind of sounds good, but that's if you're healthy. And if you're not, a marriage, I mean, stop and think, what are the different reasons why people you know, what are the reasons why their marriages fell apart, why they got divorced? Many times, not always, but many times, there was brokenness in the individual's lives that was not fixed, and the marriage may have exacerbated it and made it worse. The second category for these different 10 secrets falls under deep down, old-fashioned, lifelong commitment. It's almost impossible to make a marriage magnificent if the commitment of both partners isn't well-established and without question. When you marry, it takes time and hard work to build the relationship into what you want it to be. If one or both of you even occasionally reconsider your commitment, wondering if you really want to be in this relationship, your marriage will undoubtedly be less than it could be. Commitment requires fierce determination to back it up. Fierce determination requires regular fired up of your dedication. Regular firing up is where rehearsal comes in. Commit yourself to your lover every single day. I guarantee it will pay off. It will settle your partner's fears and your own as you both commit yourselves to each other over and over. You will become confident that you have plenty of time to build the skills you need to make your marriage all you have dreamed it could be and more. The third category of these is skills building. You need 5 basic skills as a couple if you want to build a great marriage. 1, you need to learn to dream together. 2, you need to learn how to communicate at a deeper level together. 3, you need to learn to resolve conflicts when it first occurs. 4, you need to learn to negotiate a mutually satisfying sexual relationship. And 5, you need to pursue spirituality and plumb its depths in partnership with your spouse. All of these skills are straightforward and learnable. If the two of you can become proficient at these 5 skills, there's no holding you back. And I think that's some really good wisdom that he shares. As he's, you know, thinking back and reviewing the work it took to put this this book together and the research it took. Now, in wrapping up, what I like that he did was there was a lot more wisdom than these top 10 secrets. There were other secrets that the couples suggested that were very valuable. And rather than just letting them sit in a folder, he added them in the back of the book. He just didn't write but just a sentence or so on each one. And so I'm just going to do a quick rundown. I'm not going to read the paragraph he has for each one, but just kind of run down and think about these. I think they're all very, very valuable as well. So here's 25 additional tips for building a triumphant marriage. More wisdom from the 100 extremely successful couples. Let me get another sip of coffee before I start on that list. All right. Let's see. Number one, express your gratitude to each other until it becomes habitual. Yeah, get into a good habit of showing your gratitude and your appreciation to each other. Number two, work at being great friends. Not just, how would I put it? Not just people who share the same roof. Not college roommate style. But really great friends that you really enjoy hanging out with each other. That when you're not around each other, you're still able to function. You're still able to have a good time and do stuff. But you miss the person. You realize, hey, it would be better if my spouse was with me. Number three, if you make your lover feel loved, you will significantly strengthen your marriage. Make an effort to communicate your love for your spouse in a way that they hear, in a way that they understand. That kind of ties into the book, The Five Love Languages. Maybe that'll be a future one for the podcast. Number four, learn how to apologize and how to forgive. There's effective ways, there's good ways, there's lousy ways of apologizing and forgiveness. That's a powerful skill set that if you don't practice, it really holds back a marriage. So learn how to apologize and how to forgive. Number five, look for all the positive qualities in your mate. Don't just look at the things that irritate you. Don't put your focus on the negative. Put your focus on the positive. That doesn't mean you just relentlessly tolerate problems in a marriage. No, you work on those, you bring them up, you work on fixing them so that you can then focus better on the positive qualities of your mate. What you focus on is what you see, okay? Number six, create a working partnership with each other. Think about your journey through life, your journey through marriage with your spouse as a working partnership. What are the two of you working towards together? There's some couples out there. Some are famous and some are, just average couples. But they really don't have an interactive life together. They just see each other on occasion. There was a famous newscaster, and I'm blanking out on his name now. He was, I think he was even on 60 Minutes. Gosh, because I wasn't prepared to bring his name up. But anyway, he was single for a number of years, and then he met a lady who, had her own career. And they would just get together at either his apartment or her apartment every few months. They had totally separate lives. They did get married. I mean, this is just how they ran their marriage. It was an odd marriage of convenience, from what I understand from reading about the couple. Have a working partnership. Have a good, healthy working partnership. Work towards that. It'll make your marriage, much better. Number seven, look for the changes in your marriage. They speak eloquently about the quality of your relationship. Life and marriage changes. You just want the changes to be for the better. And when bad things happen, you know, then learn how to cope and deal with those changes in a positive way. But think of yourself as, how do I become a better husband? How do I become a better wife? What can I change? And that, in turn, changes the quality of the marriage. Number 8, maintain careful control over your expectations. You know, you want to make sure your expectations for change or expectations in a marriage is realistic. If you set such high goals, you know, I don't have a problem with high goals, but you also have to be realistic about them. And if your goals of a person or expectations of a person are so high, you're not going to see the successes, but you're going to be focused on all the failures. So maintain careful control over your expectations. Number 9, recognize and celebrate your expectations that you have met. When you have success, celebrate it. Point it out to each other. And really join in on the happiness of making things better, fixing a problem, making something improved, reaching a goal. Number 10, try to grow from unmet expectations. You know, if there are expectations you have and they just aren't, you know, they're not there, you're not making progress on it, try to grow from those. You know, sometimes what we want to do is see something good and we want to improve it and make it even better. But here, okay, what's an unmet expectation? How do we change? How do we grow from this? Number 11, strive for mutuality in marriage. You know, the first sentence he has here is, we have a relationship characterized by mutual respect and mutual enjoyment. Neither of us is self-centered in a narcissistic way. You see, here, when you think about the mutuality of marriage, it's really recognizing that this marriage is for both of us, not just for one over the other, but for both of us together. Think of it like a rowboat. You've got each person sitting on a bench, and each person has one oar. It's not that one person gets to do all the rowing and the other one doesn't, because all will happen is you spin in a circle. It needs to be where both of you are rowing. And, you know, one example of the rowing is the work you put in, but the other is the benefit you receive, that the marriage is mutual. And I think you can apply that same concept to family. You know, no matter how many children you have in a family, that those kids are all equally and mutually part of a family. Number 12, experience strong feelings together. Here the quote from one of the couples, we experience strong feelings in very similar ways. We laugh a lot at the same kinds of things, and we cry in the same movies. This seems to bind us each together. You see, what's happening here is kind of like shared empathy. What are the things that make you happy together? What are the things, I mean, it's kind of like you're pairing up. The more things that you do where both of you enjoy it, the more things you'll both enjoy. 13, if you go through suffering together, it'll create wonderful possibilities for your relationship. See, this is all a part of that walking together. If one of you is struggling, or if one of you is going through pain, loss, those kinds of things, you're together as a couple. Go through those things together. You know, I remember, you know, working in hospice where you had families that, you know, that you got a loved one somewhere in the family that is terminally ill. If one of you's parent is in that kind of a situation, both of you together, if you share in that experience, you grow from that experience. If it's just one is involved in caregiving and support, but the other one is distant and aloof, you got a good chance of really developing some resentment regarding that. So if you go through suffering together, it can create wonderful possibilities for your relationship because you grow through those challenges. Number 14, prayer really changes things. Prayer really changes things. When you pray together, more than just, you know, like a common table prayer, when you get comfortable praying together, sharing your needs together with God, thanking together to God for what the blessings He has given, it changes. It makes your relationship deeper because you're deepening it on that spiritual level. Number 15, renew your commitment, especially when the going gets hard. You know, I like what one of the people quoted here. When we are going through a particularly difficult periods, we renew our commitment by actually stating, I'm here with you, or I wouldn't want to do this with anyone else. Yeah, renew that commitment. Number 16, make playtime a regular part of your marriage. A marriage is not just supposed to be all work and no play, because that makes Jack or Jackie a dull boy or girl, to quote that old phrase. No, spend time playing together. Enjoy time together. Maybe it's playing cards. Maybe it's playing a board game. Maybe it's playing something outside in the yard. Maybe it's just the playfulness, like if you go for a walk hand in hand and you're just being playful with each other. You know, play together. That's a good suggestion here. Number 17, communication tends to go well if you do it right. There's right ways and wrong ways to communicate. And if you struggle with communication, do some work on it. Get a book or two. Watch some videos. Get some counseling. Do something to learn those skills, because communication, which is mutual understanding, well, you need to have that. And if there's struggles with it, fix it. Number 18, build a workable model for managing conflict with your spouse. You know, conflict is going to happen. You know when conflict stops? When one of you dies. Not when a divorce happens, because believe me, conflict will continue. No, conflict, find a workable model. There's all different ways of managing and handling conflict. Work at finding one that works. And if yours isn't working, change what you're doing. Number 19, learn to share negative and positive feelings without delay. A healthy marriage is not about just keeping your mouth shut and not addressing an issue. We all try to do that from time to time. Maybe the circumstances are such where it's not appropriate to bring it up at that time. You know, if there's an issue at a big family dinner, yeah, that may not be the right time. But don't just sit there and hold it, because that will build resentment. And resentment does a lot of damage. So learn to share negative and positive feelings without delay. It's easier to share positive. You know, but do it. A lot of times it gets neglected. So share the positive things also. Number 20, never purposely embarrass your mate. If your mate screws up, whether it's in private or whether it is in public, don't purposely embarrass them. I mean, if they have done something wrong, or if they have forgotten something, or, you know, whatever it is, there's kind ways to share that information, and then there's purposely embarrassing ways. You know, whenever I was in management, and I had to address an issue with an employee where they had screwed up in some way, I would take them into my office, close the door, and have a discussion with them. I once had a supervisor who I watched discipline a person in another employee in a very embarrassing way in public in front of their peers. And I was so appalled at what the supervisor did and the reaction it had and the effect it had on the employee, who was a good employee, very good employee. There was just a mistake made. You don't do that in a work setting. Don't do it in a marital setting. Number 21, whenever possible, carefully plan the future of your marriage. Don't go into your, or don't live out your marriage going, well, we're going to just take it one day at a time wherever it leads us. No. Your marriage is too valuable to not think ahead, plan ahead, discuss those kind of things. No, we need to. We need to kind of have a modifiable roadmap that we're following. Number 22, don't be afraid to let your children be your teachers. And I like this quote from one of the couples. Children have been a joy in God's way of humbling us. Our children teach us all the time. We have great times together, sharing love, laughter, and tears. Yeah, kids can be great teachers of the good things and can point out our mistakes. Number 23, even though you're one flesh, your spouse is a separate person. Here's the quote from that one of the individuals. I had to learn the hard way that my husband is a unique individual, a separate person. His thoughts are his own and do not necessarily represent my opinion or the children's. When I keep this straight, I give him significantly more freedom to be himself. Both of us are happier this way. You know, we are separate individuals. We work for the unity, but we're also different. You know, my wife has her preferences. I have mine. I don't try to railroad over hers. She doesn't try to railroad over mine. Sometimes sometimes we just need to be apart for a little bit because we work together here on our farm. We don't have like the separation of us going off to separate jobs and then coming back. And so sometimes we do need to have a little separate time for our own separate preferences. Number 24, develop your love relationship independently of well-meaning others. There's a lot of people who will love to offer suggestions and guidance, especially when you're newly married. And they're trying to be thoughtful, they're trying to be kind, but you too develop your relationship based on wisdom you've learned from others, but you guys do the building. And number 25, work to keep your love fresh. And I'll kind of wrap this section up with this quote from a couple. Keeping our love fresh and alive was a goal we set even before marriage. We work hard at it. In fact, we rank it up there at the top of our list of goals. After all these years, I can tell you that I can hardly wait to see my wife every night. She hugs me like she thinks I'm wonderful too. Work at keeping your love fresh and exciting. And that is The Triumphant Marriage by Neil Clark Warren. I hope this has been helpful. I hope that you found some tidbits, some ideas of things that can help you in your relationship. Or if you are, you know, if your marriage ended and you're not currently married, that, you know, you can learn some things so that if another person comes around and you think about a relationship with them in a serious way, that, hey, I can take something I've learned from these podcasts and apply it. Well, that's it for today. Have yourself a great one, and we will catch you next time. Take care. God bless.